This is Fresh Air. When we think of nursing homes, we think of facilities for the elderly. But the AIDS epidemic has left a much younger population in need of full-time care. My guest, Betsy Lieberman, is the executive director of AIDS Housing of Washington in Washington State, which oversaw the development of the first newly constructed nursing home in the country for people with AIDS. Located in Seattle, the Bailey Boucher House opened last summer. Lieberman is the co-author of the new book, Breaking New Ground. It's a resource guide to developing AIDS housing. In 1987, when she started planning Bailey Boucher, there was no capacity within the existing nursing system to deal with people with AIDS. Hospitals were also backed up and very expensive. There was a need for alternative long-term care. I asked her about some of the fears people with AIDS have about where they will spend the last weeks of their lives and where they will die.
Well, for most people with AIDS, they're people who are in the prime of their life when they get sick. They're primarily people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s. And so it's most people have not, in the United States, have not confronted issues of death and dying in our generation. And so it's really, most people want to die in their homes if they have a home and if they can afford to have the kind of care and support that they want. I mean, that's the universal choice for most people living with HIV/AIDS. But for many people, they don't have an appropriate home. They don't have the kind of support systems that they need in order to be able to die at home. For many people, they don't have insurance or the private means to pay for 24-hour round-the-clock care. So we really, the goal of Bailey Boucher House was to create a very home-like environment for people living with HIV/AIDS that they could choose whatever type of care they wanted. About 90% of the people who have lived at Bailey Boucher in the first year have ended up dying at Bailey Boucher House, but 10% have gone back to the community to live and receive other kinds of treatment. So it's really geared and oriented to people receiving whatever types of long-term care services they want and they need.
I know one of the things you did when you were planning the AIDS care facility was to organize focus groups of people with AIDS and ask them what they'd want in such a facility. What were some of the things you came up with?
Well, it was very interesting because I went into this planning process with a bias myself. I come out of a public health background, and I went into the planning thinking, oh, everyone must want hospice care because that's what I would want. And I discovered in talking to many people with AIDS, one is most people wanted to stay at home, as I said earlier, if they could do that. The secondly is very few people were saying, I actively choose hospice care. I mean, hospice care in this country means that you only are choosing palliative treatment, treatment for pain and support to help you die. And many, many people with HIV/AIDS are still choosing to receive antibiotics or AZT up until the end of life. And
well, I guess there's a reason for that. I mean, but with people with AIDS, one illness will come close to killing you, and then that bug will be killed, and then you kind of spring back for a while.
Right. We had a board member who died just this past spring who had had AIDS for almost 5 years, who was an inspiration to me. And on two different occasions, I visited him in the intensive care unit of the VA hospital in Seattle and said goodbye to him. And then 2 weeks later, he was back at home, and then a month later, he was back at the gym. Mm-hmm. And so it just sort of puts the epidemic into perspective, the whole fluctuating care nature for people with AIDS. The first floor of Bailey Boucher House is actually a day health program for people with HIV/AIDS who live in the community, who need care and support during the daytime. And it's really been an effective way to support people to stay at home and also give some relief to caregivers.
Do you have people at this AIDS facility who go in and out of the hospital if the condition gets really bad and they need intensive care help, for instance?
Occasionally people go into the hospital. It's not the norm. I mean, the Bailey Boucher House has, as compared to a standard geriatric nursing home where they have about just less than 3 nursing hours per resident per day, Bailey Boucher House has closer to 7 direct nursing hours, so that people can get a very high level of what you're calling intensive nursing care, which is mostly what's done at Bailey Boucher House. And so it rarely warrants people going back to the hospital unless they choose to. You know, occasionally, I mean, Bailey Boucher House doesn't do surgery, and there's no ability to do things like high-tech CAT scans. But people can get all sorts of chemotherapies there. They can have blood transfusions there. And so there's been very few transfers to the hospital since the 13 months since it opened.
My guest is Betsy Lieberman, Director of AIDS Housing of Washington. More after this break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Betsy Lieberman, co-author of a new book on developing AIDS housing. The Bailey Boucher House is the first nursing care facility designed from scratch for people with AIDS.
Right.
So since you had the ability to start from scratch and just design it for people with AIDS, what did you do that's different from other nursing care facilities?
Well, for one thing is we involved the community in the planning of the project. I mean, we involved people with AIDS, people involved in AIDS services, the major hospitals, in thinking about what we need. And then because Seattle's what's called a second wave city in the AIDS epidemic, we're about 3 years behind cities like San Francisco and New York and Los Angeles in terms of the epidemic. We involved people who ran hospices and long-term care facilities in other communities in the planning of the project. And then so we looked at the care needs. The standard length of stay in a nursing home in this community for an older adult is about 24 months. This standard length of stay at Bailey Boucher House is about 6 weeks. And so we were looking at a much more, you know, compacting the amount of time that people would stay in Bailey Boucher House. One of the things that we did that was, you know, probably one of the biggest decisions that we made was to have private bedrooms, that we felt like both from a care issue, the fact that people's immune systems were already compromised, and also the fact that, you know, people really wanted to involve their families, their support systems, their partners in their care, that private rooms were much more conducive to this. The room has a sofa in it, and someone's partner or family member can stay over. The other thing we chose to do was put, there's a bathroom in each room. So a person has access to a toilet and a sink. And for many people with HIV/AIDS, issues of incontinence and bowel dysfunction really come at the latter stages of the illness. And so having that level of control and dignity and being able to use your own bathroom made a big difference. We also did a number of small things. Each room has its own thermostat so that the resident can control the heat or the air conditioning. The windows are operable, so someone can, you know, choose to let fresh air in. Each room has a telephone. These are very small things, but people can call out when they need to. Rooms have a television and VCR. There's a bulletin board in the bedroom, so people can tack up anything they want. There's these very nice picture rails so people can hang up their own artwork. I mean, we try to look at, you know, very small things you could do that just make the facility a lot more humane and livable.
I think you once estimated that there's a death about every 30 hours at the house. So what happens when somebody dies? Does everybody know about it? Is there any kind of observance of the death, or does everybody just try to go on? Kind of like nothing happened.
There's a full-time person at Bailey Boucher House who does staff development and coordinates staff support. So there's sort of the tension between the facility has a huge waiting list, and so the pressure is on to move someone out of a room and have the room available for another person with HIV/AIDS in this community, and balancing that with making sure that the family, the friends, the staff have the ability to sort of deal with the death. There's memorial services that go on very frequently at the facility. There's a monthly service and weekly support groups to just acknowledge people's death. There's a wonderful meditation room that if you go in there, you see little treasures. There's an immobile with people's, you know, little remembrances to people. There's photographs all over the facility and artwork all over the facility. So people, there's really an acknowledgement that, you know, it's important to acknowledge the people's dying as much as it is important to acknowledge people's birth.
There's a growing problem with tuberculosis. I don't know if you've had to deal with that yet.
Uh-huh. Well, we have had to deal with that in Bailey Boucher House. The fortunate thing, we knew about TB and HIV. I mean, it was just beginning to impact the HIV epidemic. when we started the planning for Bailey Boucher House, and the facility is able to accommodate people with active tuberculosis. There's four isolation rooms that, though it's sort of funny to have isolation rooms in a facility with private bedrooms, but there are four rooms that have six air exchanges per hour that vent directly to the out-of-doors that can accommodate people with active tuberculosis. Unfortunately, in most other AIDS housing projects across the country where they remodeled existing houses or existing apartment buildings, ATB, they were not able to accommodate, the mechanical systems are not able to accommodate people with active tuberculosis, and it's become an increasing problem, particularly in places like New York and Philadelphia where you are, and in Miami where they're starting to see tuberculosis in epidemic proportions.
I want to get back to the design of the interior. I know you're trying to keep things as warm and comfortable and home-like as possible. On the other hand, you're really trying to accommodate some of the special needs of people with AIDS, such as incontinence. So I think a lot of the furniture is like vinyl, something that's easily washable. The rugs are of a weave that is easily washable. Is there a conflict that you have to walk there between, you know, the kind of comfort and warmth that you want and the kind of health protection that you need?
It would be great if you could see what the facility looks like in the radio, but that tension was incredibly present. And, you know, a lot of the people with HIV in this community would have loved to have cotton furniture that had cotton covers. And so we really struggled with how do we do exactly what you said. How do we make something clean, cleanable and durable as well as look residential? So the compromise we worked out is the seats of most of the chairs are vinyl or what's called in the design industry polyolefin, which is a petroleum product that's very cleanable. And then a number of the fabric designers in the Northwest actually gave us at cost some beautiful fabric. So what we did is we put vinyl on the seats and the fabrics on the backs. And so the chairs, you know, they look warmer and more residential, but the seats are very cleanable and durable. But we struggled a lot around the picking of fabrics and the choosing of furniture and chairs. I mean, we went as far as the facility has a lot of these very, very nice stacking straight back chairs that are in the dining rooms and in some of the resident rooms. And we got a whole different assortment of chairs together and got many people with HIV/AIDS together and had them try the chairs and tell us which ones were the most comfortable.
Do you need to be wealthy to stay at an AIDS care facility?
It's a good question. Most of the patients at Bailey Boucher House are funded either through Medicaid or Medicare or some private insurance. And throughout all the housing for people with HIV/AIDS in the United States, most of the housing is primarily for people with limited resources. Most of the people at Bailey Boucher House, as with most of the other AIDS housing in the United States, are living on what's called Social Security disability, meaning they're disabled by HIV/AIDS. And the amount of money they get ranges anywhere from $350 to about $600 a month. So it's almost none of the AIDS housing is at all economically driven. In most housing projects, people pay a third of their income for rent, which is a standard kind of rent that HUD charges in most of its projects.
You're the director of the AIDS Housing Project of Washington. What do you do when you have a friend or a friend of a friend who has AIDS and says, you've got to get me into one of these care facilities? Pull strings for me. Do something.
That's really hard. I mean, I encourage people I know who have HIV/AIDS to get on the waiting lists early. Because we don't, even though Seattle has a whole continuum of housing for people with AIDS, we don't even meet 50% of the housing need in this community. And in other cities, it's a lot worse. So I encourage people not to wait till there's a crisis in their life. It's the same words of encouragement I give to older adults is, you know, don't wait till you are too sick to get into a residential care facility. Really think about try and put this into perspective. But it's hard. I mean, people don't want to move until it becomes a real crisis. And we don't have, there's not a mechanism. Bailey Boucher House, which is licensed by the state of Washington, does not allow you to discriminate in your waiting lists. So it's really, you get on the waiting list, and then when your name comes up, that's your chance to move in, unfortunately.
Betsy, have you lost a lot of friends to AIDS?
I have lost a lot of friends to AIDS. I mean, it's been really difficult. We've lost a lot of board members to AIDS. I mean, all of our original founding board members who had HIV/AIDS have died since the beginning of the development of AIDS Housing of Washington in 1988, and that was really tragic to me. I mean, for many of them, the facility wasn't even finished in time for them to use it.
Betsy Lieberman is the author of Breaking New Ground. She directs AIDS Housing of Washington in Seattle. She's coordinating the first national conference on housing for people with AIDS to be held this September in Chicago. This is Fresh Air.